Okay, here we go. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are Spirit, and they are life. John 6, verse 63. Here we go again. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are Spirit, and they are life. John 6, verse 63. There we go.
I don't know, did I share with you guys about the verse of the year on 1 Corinthians 2:9? Did I share that with you from the Amplified Version? You know what that verse is, 1 Corinthians 2:9? What is it? Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. So in the Amplified, apparently I haven't shared it with you because you're all looking at me with like, I don't know. So I looked at I'm kind of fallen in love with the Amplified Version for a season because I love how it explains and makes me think about the meaning of the words that I'm using. So that particular verse, 1 Corinthians 2:9 in the Amplified Version says, what eye has not seen and ear has not heard and has not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared, made and keeps ready. That's what prepared means, made and keeps ready for those who love him. This is the explanation for those who love him, those who hold him in affectionate reverence, promptly obeying him and gratefully recognizing the benefits he has bestowed. I love that. It gives whole new meaning. God, eye has not seen nor ear heard nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. That's very good, yes. But when you look at that and you say, so I love him. So to those who hold him in affectionate reverence, promptly obeying him, and gratefully recognizing the benefits he has bestowed. Being a thankful person is basically it. If we're going to show him that we love him, we are being a thankful person. Last week, I was sick, and I've got to tell you that I know that Sandy Teal was supposed to teach last week. I didn't know that on Monday day. As I was up and I was just trying to study and I was cold and I couldn't get warm and that, all that sort of thing. And then in the evening I got a fever, so I knew I had to do something. The Lord just put on my heart to call Sandy, and you know, Sandy needed to share that day. Now, I believe that God made me sick so that Sandy can share. Now, I know people have a problem. Some people have a problem with saying that God made me sick. That's not my problem. Because if I had not been sick, I would have been here and I would not have even thought of Sandy. I knew she was leaving, but I wouldn't have thought to have her share. And so God did that for me, so that I could sit home and listen because I needed to hear what Sandy had to say. And I know that a lot of you needed to hear what she had to say as well. I learned from Sandy that sharing that I had gotten a little bit too much routine. I had gotten a little bit too much into my routine. I used to sit in the back of the church and I would look at the back of the heads of people and ask the Lord which one of those I'm supposed to be praying for. Used to do it at every service. For a long time, in the time that Bill and I have been pastoring, that's something that I just did. And then people started telling me, oh no, you need to be up front. And so I came and I sat up front, and I missed out on all of that. Women's ministry used to be something that the Spirit was allowed to move and to do things. We have had times where we all just gathered in a circle and prayed together, and then we got into the study. We've had times when the Lord has just done different things just because of listening to the Spirit and doing things out of the routine. And I was set in my routine, and God needed to remind me to listen to Him. And so the next morning when I got up, I still wasn't feeling on top of the world, but I got up in the morning, I got showered, I got dressed, I got my makeup on, I fixed my hair, I was on my way to the prayer meeting early in the morning, and God said to me, not today, Joy. And so as He told me, I came home, I stayed at home, and I stayed at home all day by myself, and as I was at home, the verse He gave me that day was Mark 6:31. Come with me by yourself to a quiet place and rest. Mark 6:31. Come with me by yourself to a quiet place and get some rest. It is important that we invest some time alone with the Lord. Jesus Himself went away alone. It says it right here, that He went away alone to be with His Father. And so we all need that kind of time to be away. And so because I had had that time of just kind of just basking in the Lord, I was sitting out on the back porch. I had my cup of coffee. I was sitting out there, didn't have my Bible, didn't have anything in front of me, did not have my phone anywhere near me. You know, how do you feel when you are at dinner with someone and they are so interested in somebody who's not there that they're on their phone or they're checking the text or something like that? And how does that make you feel? It doesn't make you feel important. And it's not that God doesn't feel important to us, but if we are distracted by people who are not even there when God wants to speak to us. And so we really need that time that we get away and we allow the Lord to speak into our lives, and we allow Him to speak those things that are His. So because that day went the way that it did, I came on Wednesday night as Bill was preaching on Revelation, and as when everything was closing, I came in late, which I often do on Wednesday night so that nobody sees me come in. I come in late, and I kind of sit in my little space. And as everything was closing, the music that was playing, I had my eyes closed, and the music that was going on sounded to me like the music at the end of a movie. And like the end of Lord of the Rings or something like that, where you see everything coming together, and Bilbo is doing this and the other guys are doing that and somebody's getting into a boat or whatever. And you see these things happen and the music is going on. But what I was seeing was darkness on either side and a road that was, it was fairly wide here, but it went down and went, you know, closer together as it went further down the road. And I saw people walking. I could only see their backs. And up ahead, I saw the most beautiful, fantastic, incredible light that I have ever seen in my life. It is inexplicable. I cannot tell you it was like this or it was like that. It's like trying to tell somebody about a sunrise who's blind and has been blind all of their life and doesn't even know what color looks like. The colors that were in it, I've never seen before. It's not like a topaz, or it's not like an amethyst. It's not like anything. It was so beautiful, it brought me to tears, that God would allow me to see that, that He would allow me to be reminded, just get time with me. And I has not seen nor ear heard nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. God did that because He made me sick. And I was forced to stop and to rest and to hear from Him and pay attention to what He had to say. And so I want to encourage you. You know, I don't know. There may be somebody in here. You don't even know what I'm talking about when I'm saying that. There was this bright light. It wasn't bright light like this. It was light, that inexplicable light. And you might not know what I'm talking about. God says he is light, and in him is no darkness at all. That we have an opportunity right now to accept Christ as our personal Savior. Maybe you have never done that. Maybe you have never asked Jesus to come and live in your heart. Maybe you have never said, I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner, and I need forgiveness. Lord, would you forgive me? Would you cleanse my heart? Would you come and live in me and help me to live my life for you? Maybe you've never done that before. Today is the day. Today is the day of salvation. Right now is the day of salvation. Right now is the time. I did not plan on saying this at this particular point in my teaching. I was going to save it for the end, but you know what? God says right now is the time. Right now is the time to look to him. Maybe you've been a Christian for a while, but you've just kind of been in the routine of things. It's time to get back. It's time to set your eyes on things above. Because Jesus Christ is coming back. He's coming back for his church, and it's going to be any moment. We used to say, it's going to be any day. Any day now. No, any minute now. In the blink of an eye. Faster than a blink of an eye, we could be gone. Not here. So let's be ready. Let's be, and that's all ties into our lesson today. And so, Father, I thank you, Lord, for this lesson. And I know that there's a lot to cover. I know for your faithfulness, Lord. I know that you gave me these things to share because there was a purpose in all of it. And I thank you for it, Lord, and I praise you. And just help me to speak the words that are straight from you. In Jesus' name, amen. So most of you studied the first part of chapter 6 last week, right? You got into your small groups. You talked about the first part of chapter 6. I had someone tell me this morning, I thought, oh, Joy's not here this week, so I can skate through, and then you got up and talked, she said to me. You got up and talked, and then you got into verse 58, and I went, oh, I didn't do verse 58, I missed something. And so she thought she was all studied up and hadn't done this week's lesson. So chapter 6, it has a bit of an outline, and you would have gone over the feeding of the 5,000 in verses 1 through 14. In verses 15 to 21, now 1 to 14 is shared by all of the, in all of the Gospels, the feeding of the 5,000. In verse 15 to 21, we have the storm. We have them not jumping ship in the storm, right? And we see Jesus walking on water. And in verses 22 to 24, we see the people as seekers. And then in 41 to 51, they become complainers. And in 52 to 65, it says they become quarrelers. And in 66, it says they were deserters. And then in 67 through 70, Peter's announcement, you alone are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Where else would we go? And so we start off, and I will read through it, but I'm not going to read everything. So if you're trying to follow along, just catch words here and there if you can. So they're on their way over the Sea of Galilee to the Sea of Tiberias, and the multitude followed him because for the purpose of that they had seen the signs which he performed on those who were diseased, and Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. So he went up, and he invested that time with his disciples. He invested that time with them together. It was now close to the Passover. And so then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? I wonder how that happened. Was he just walking along going, hey, Philip, what do you think we ought to do with all these people? We need to feed them. What do you think? What would it take to feed all of these people? And so right away, it says that he said it to test him. He's testing his faith. You know that our faith has to be tested. It has to be tested. It's not really faith if it's not tested. We need that testing of our faith because Jesus knew himself what he would do. He knew that this portion that's happening in the first part of chapter 6 is going to tie together with the whole thing that's going to go ahead of them as they go into the next portion of chapter 6. So he had it all together. He had it all figured out. So Philip answered him. He said, 200 denarii wouldn't even be enough to be able to do this. And so one of the disciples then, Andrew, says, well, you know what? He's speaking a little word of faith, and he says, you know, there's a little kid here. He has 5 loaves and has 2 little fish. So he's speaking a little word of faith, and then but what's that among so many? Jesus goes right over that last phrase that he says, and he says, okay, make the people sit down. Because Jesus had a plan. He knew he had gone before them and he prepared for what was before them. And so then we know that there were recorded that there were 5,000 men, and you knew from your study also, and you've known, probably some of you have been walking with the Lord for a long time, that it wasn't just 5,000 men. It was 5,000 men and women and children. And so it could be somewhere up near 11,000, 12,000. Okay, so 5 loaves, 2 little, it says, little fish. And so he takes it, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples. To 12 disciples, he distributed from 5 loaves and 2 fish. Right away, you've got that multiplication going on right away. What must they have been thinking when they picked up those baskets to pass around? And so he blessed it, and he gave thanks, and he distributed it to the disciples. And they then distributed it to those who were sitting down, and the fish also, as much as they wanted. They were full. 5 loaves and 2 fish, they were full. There have been people trying to explain this in a natural way that, oh, you know, it encouraged everybody to bring out their food and share with everybody else. No, that's not what happened. This is a miracle that happened. This is a miracle. God made this happen. Jesus made this happen. And as much as they wanted. And so when they were filled, Jesus said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. It is important when God works a miracle in our lives. It's important when God does a great thing in our lives. It's important for us to remember when God ministers to us, don't lose it. Don't let it slip away. Just absorb every morsel of it. Bring it in and enjoy every little piece that God has for us. And therefore, they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of 5 barley loaves, which were left over those who had eaten. 12 baskets full. How many disciples were there? 12. Do you think that the disciples were eating bread while they were passing it out? No. They hadn't eaten yet. And Jesus tells them, gather up what's left. And they each had their own basket with enough for them. Because God always has enough for everyone. God always has enough for each one of us. For each one of us, there's always enough and more. And so right away they go, oh, we're going to make him king because look at what he did. He fed us all, and we're going to make him king. We're going to make him want to be king. We're going to force him into being king. And right away, Jesus departs again to the mountain. Well, how? By himself alone. He did not take his phone with him. He did not take his iPad with him. Just in case you don't know what's going to happen while I'm out there alone. He didn't take his little watch with him. He was out there trusting that God, the Father, would be with him. Now, am I saying go climbing and go out in the everywhere without anything for directions? No, I'm not. Of course, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying don't let that be what you depend on. Depend on Jesus. Depend on Jesus to lead you. And so when the evening came, his disciples came down. And so now in verse 16 through 20, we're going into the storm that went on. So they're on this boat. Jesus has not shown up. He said, go ahead and go across. And so he hasn't shown up. They know he hasn't shown up with them. They figured he's going to get there somehow. They're just doing what they were told to do. They got in their boat. And all of a sudden, you know from your homework how deep that ocean is, that sea is, and how the winds go up, and there's a storm there, and it is scary, the storm that goes on there. And so there they are in the midst of that storm, and they see Jesus walking on the sea and coming near them. And what was their response? Yikes. It was, what? That's Jesus. Oh my goodness, what is he? Now, I've seen pictures of how you can make it look like people are walking on water. You know, how you set up the photo and you have the rock there and you have something on top of that, and then you put a mirror on there, on top of there, and they stand on that and it looks like they're walking on water. That wasn't a visual like that. Jesus was actually walking on the water that he created. He knew the molecular structure of water. He was able to walk on the water. And was there, and as he came near them, verse 21 says, they willingly received him. Jesus is saying to us tonight, will you willingly receive me? Will you willingly allow me to enter into your life? Will you willingly allow me to enter into every area of your life? Will you willingly accept me as your Lord and Savior? And immediately, when he got in the boat, immediately they were exactly where they were supposed to be. You see, when you trust in Jesus, you are immediately exactly where you need to be. Immediately, exactly where you need to be when you are trusting in the Lord with all of your heart, not leaning to your own understanding. And so this is that area that only John records, of course. And then in starting with verse 22, we see on the following day when the people were standing on the other side, they got up in the morning and they said, wow, you know, I'm a little hungry. Let's go find Jesus. He fed us yesterday, so let's go find him now. And so they go there and they go, whoa, where's the disciples? Where's Jesus? What are we supposed to do? We got to find this guy. And so it says that they were seeking Jesus in verse 24. They were seeking Jesus. Why do you seek Jesus? They were seeking Jesus for the good things that he had given them, for the way that he fed their physical. Jesus wants to be sought after for the spiritual aspect. You will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart, when you are all in, completely in, every bit of you. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said, how did you get here? And you notice his response to it? He didn't tell them how he got there. He didn't tell them, oh, I just walked over here. I walked across the water over here, but I just wanted to let you know. But they said in verse 26, most assuredly I say to you, Jesus says, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and you were filled. Don't labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. And they said, what shall we do to do the works of God? What can we do to do the works of God? And so he says, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. He's saying that you believe in him whom he sent. And they said to him in verse 30, what sign will you perform? Then, I couldn't get past that first part. What sign will you perform? Well, excuse me, these are the same guys that were just there yesterday, and he fed them all with 5 loaves and 2 fish, and they were filled. And now, today, you're saying, what are you going to do for us? Too many of us, myself included, as soon as God answers one prayer, we're on to the next request before we ever say thank you. We're on to the next thing. Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, thanks. On to the next thing. But could you do, and really, the way that you did it, I just got to say, I was not content with the way that you did it, God. But God is in control. What have you done for me lately is what they're saying. What have you done for us lately? Perform for us. And I fear that today in the church, there's too much performing going on. Preach the gospel. Preach the word. Nothing more, nothing else, nothing less. Preach the word of God. Be in the word of God. Know the word of God. I don't know what you were talking about, Ruth, earlier about what's happening in Canada with them wanting to change things that are in the Bible, wanting to change the words that are in the Bible. Preaching in public is going to be banned in Canada. It will be considered hate speech. So I want us to be prepared. I want us to know why we believe what we believe. It's important to me that you guys and that I know why I believe what I believe. Because when the hard times come, I've got to know what it is that I'm hanging on to. And hard times will come. It's going to be an very interesting year. Because eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. The good, the bad, the ugly. There are some things prepared for us that we might not say, oh, yeah, thank you, God. Oh, thanks so much. You were so thoughtful. Please don't do it again. There will be those times. Perform for us. Do I spend more time praying for something that I want than I do praising God for what he's done? Do I spend more time asking for the next thing? How often I am in a place of discontent. And I needed to be reminded that. We are to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. We are to be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Psalm 100, verses 4 and 5. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. What does the Lord's Prayer start with? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So we begin with praise, we end with praise. That's the way to approach him. That's the way that we are to supposed to be. And so they were seeking him, and we are down in verse 30. And so for him to perform for him, they're talking about our fathers ate manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said, most assuredly, verse 32, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And they said to him, oh, Lord, give us this bread always. Isn't that just like the woman at the well? Give me that living water so that I don't have to come to this well anymore. But you see, she got it. These guys did not got it. They did not get it. It didn't register what Jesus was saying. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you still don't believe. You don't trust and rely on me. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. That is not saying that there are just people that the Father says, okay, this one and this one. No, not that one. That one. All are called. All are called to come to Christ. All are called, but we have a choice in what we're going to do with that call. Are we going to live for him? I will by no means cast out, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day, which is coming very soon. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And then what happened is the Jews started complaining. He's given them the whole story, and now they're saying, who do you think you are? We know you. We know your mom and dad. Oh, little smarty pants, you do not know his mom and dad. Just saying. God is my Father. I just wonder if Jesus sometimes just wanted to talk like that. I don't know. I would. But how is it that he says, I have come down from heaven? And Jesus answered them, do not murmur, don't complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. The Father is drawing everyone. We all have the possibility of coming to him. Everybody, every person. Every person. Even that person that you think there is not a chance. Not a chance at all. The Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up in the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and paid attention and learned from the Father comes to me. They see that he is who he says he is. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. He who trusts in, relies on, clings to, adheres to me has eternal life. That's what it is to believe. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, but they died because you're only talking about the physical. They died because that's the only thing that you're looking at. This is the bread which comes down from heaven. And I wonder if he went, this is the bread that comes down from heaven. The one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Talking about that day when he would go to the cross for us. He said that he would go. Right there, he's saying, I'm going to lay down my life for you. And now they've moved to quarreling. How can this man give us flesh to eat? And this is the part that so many people get stuck on with the flesh and the blood and the, but you can't, are you talking about cannibalism? That's not right because Jesus wouldn't do that because we're not supposed to do that and we're not supposed to drink the blood. And so how can he say these things? But he's very clear as he continues to talk. He's not talking about the physical. He's talking about the spiritual. This is verse 58. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. And these things he said there, and therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? And when Jesus knew that they were quarreling among themselves, he said, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. So if I'm talking about flesh and blood, I'm obviously not talking about the physical. When it says, if your eye offends you, put it out. Do you think that he really means for us to put it out? No, he says, deal with sin in your life. Deal that severely, if that's necessary, with sin in your life. Deal with it and be done with it. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe because he knew that their heart. Jesus knew from the beginning who it was that would believe and who would betray him. He just knew. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. And then he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. Is he saying that some of them could not come to him? No. Because the Father draws us all by way of the Holy Spirit. But we have a choice. We have to make that choice. And then in verse 66, it says, from that time, many of his disciples did not follow him. Many of his disciples turned away. And I want to bring to your attention that it is 666. The enemy does not want you walking with Jesus. He wants you to turn. He wants you to turn away. Disciples are learners. You had that in your homework. They're learners. They're ones who understand what's being said. They're taking the time to study. Many left, but not all. Not all left. They pursued Jesus only for what he could give them. They didn't draw near to seek his face. They only wanted what he could give them, what he could hand out to them. And so after many had walked away, then Jesus turned to the 12 and he says, do you also want to go away? And Peter, where else would we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Where else would we go? And I think I've shared it with you before when I was an early Christian and I just got to the place where I was just like, I can't do this Christian thing. I can't be a Christian. I just can't. And I'm not going to be one anymore. I can still see it to the day. I was sitting on the edge of my bed all home, all alone and just told God, I'm done. I can't do this. And it was silence. And then he spoke to my heart and he said, so, where are you going to go? I don't know where I'm going to go. And I've been walking with him ever since. You alone have the words of eternal life. Are you convinced that there is no other way but through Jesus Christ? You must be convinced in your own heart there is no other way to eternal life. That's what it means to believe. That you believe that there is no other way. Are you convinced beyond any shadow of doubt that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Son of the living God? Have you committed to following Jesus because of being convinced that he is the Christ? And you know that you know that you know there are no other options for eternal life and forgiveness of your sins besides him. Are you convinced of that? It goes on to say in verse 70, did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil? You see, all were chosen. All were chosen, but Judas chose to betray. He chose not to walk with Jesus. We all have that choice. God calls us all to walk with him. So they went from seeing the feeding of the 5,000 to being seekers for Jesus for the wrong reasons, to becoming complainers, to go into being quarrelers, and then they were deserters. They left and didn't walk with him again, all because they were seeking only what Jesus, they were seeking Jesus only for what he could do for them physically and not seeking him for the eternal. He's saying in this section with the blood and the flesh and drink my blood, eat my flesh, he's saying be all in. Be completely all in. Give it all up. Give it all. Give it all to Jesus. Allow him to direct your steps. So let's be all in. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And so may the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you, lift up his countenance upon you, and give you his peace. Amen. God bless you guys.
Jesus, we worship you.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495.
In the power of your name, I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on. In the power of your name, I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, I'm walking on. In the power of your name.